The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Silber, dayan and author of The Code of Jewish Conduct, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havar Halacha Center. Maseches Bava Kama has been graciously dedicated by Rav Tzvi Reisman and family, Le'ilui Nishmas, his esteemed father, Harav Yehoshua Heschel Reisman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. May the Torah studied through this volume be an Eloi to his neshama.
Bava Kama, Dav Chof Ches.
The sugya of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. It sounds terrible when you talk about violence, when you talk about physical using force, resistance. What would be the halacha in when a person is faced with a financial loss or in having physical harm inflicted on him and he wants to defend himself or even his relatives or anybody else? Can a person make a civil arrest? When are we allowed to turn to the police or the secular courts in order to defend ourselves from physical violence or monetary loss? Well, there was somebody who had a neighbor who was very interested in extending his apartment, and he didn't seem to realize that his neighbors may suffer by him doing so. So he signed a contract with a building company, and they came round and they started doing the work. And when his neighbor underneath him realized that he was building a room on top of his mirpeset, his balcony, and from now on he'll have no place to put his sukkah, he'll have to do it on the grass downstairs. He also realized that he's having his light blocked, and who knows what else is going to go on over here. He got quite excited about it, and he told his neighbor, what do you think you're doing over here? And he, you know, told his neighbor, you have no right to do this, and please stop. So the neighbor looked like he stopped, and he carried on building in other places of the house. And this poor fellow who lived downstairs went off on holiday, and he gets a phone call from a good friend that at 10 o'clock in the evening, I was just driving past your apartment, and your neighbor has put up scaffolding and the wooden molds that they put up, and he is having obviously a delivery of cement, of concrete delivery, and of course it's out of hours when the council people are not around to come around and check and catch them. And there's going to be a concrete floor there tomorrow. So he was thinking of calling the police, but he missed the downstairs, but he was scared. If you call the police, they come around, they confiscate that huge concrete pump and the concrete truck, and that's a real loss for everybody. If he calls the police, maybe unlawfully, but unfortunately, everybody will call him the Malshin and the Moisa. He also wasn't sure whether it's just a prank. He wasn't sure what to do. So he went down, he got in his car, and he drove back and tried to get there as quickly as he can to see what's going on. Now, what he saw when he arrived was that everybody had all gone home already, and they were sure enough was a wet concrete molding on top of his balcony, which when it dries means that he has no sukkah, and means a long demolition work, and he knows that his neighbor is a tough nut and knows how to wriggle around Bote Din and whatnot, and the whole thing will be finished, and by the time sukkahs he needs his mirpeset, he will not have it. So what did he do? He reckoned that the only thing that it was too late to 2 in the morning to start calling Rabbonim and work out what to do. He acted fast before the concrete dries. He pulled out a nail here and a plank there, and the whole thing came gushing down to the floor, and the whole molding was gone, a few iron rods, a very big mess, and he got back in his car, went back to his holiday, and let his neighbor deal with it himself the next morning. Did he do right or did he do wrong? His neighbor had an awful loss. He had to pay for the cleanup operation. The concrete had dried in the morning. It was all over the place. The whole molding, it had cost him maybe a few thousand dollars to have it done, and now the whole thing was cost another few thousand dollars to clear it up. Had he done right or had he done wrong? Well, you've been learning the sugya of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshei. Anybody who sees himself sustaining a possible, even financial loss, other people want to damage him or steal from him, he sees an article of his possession in his friend's hands, and he knows that he's going to suffer a loss if he waits until he can get to Beis Din, he could actually take the law into his own hands. This would even include if he would need to use physical violence to do so, if it would be impossible otherwise. And if he did use physical violence to do so, he will not be held responsible to pay any compensation for the physical harm inflicted on the person he did it to, because he was allowed to do it. It's almost as if he's the messenger from the Beis Din, the policeman of the Beis Din, who has been sent to take care of carrying out the law. If he inflicted unnecessary harm on his friend, there was no purpose in this extra harm, or if he did so out of hate or revenge, then he will be held responsible for his actions. He's only exempt from paying compensation for things that he did to save himself from sustaining any loss or harm. It would also not be allowed to be mevaza, or mecharif, to embarrass his friend, would not be allowed to disgrace his friend if there is no purpose in doing so when retrieving or when saving himself from sustaining a loss. If he sees it's impossible, the other people are damaging him, they're stealing from him, and he can't get back what he needs, they will not listen to Beis Din, they will not come to Beis Din, then he is allowed even to speak Lashon Hara and Rechilus on them, and to disgrace them and embarrass them in public, anything and everything he would have to do in order to save himself sustaining these losses. This is not only monetary loss, this is also save himself or others from physical harm. He would be allowed to take the law into his own hands and do whatever deemed is necessary. What I would like to say over here is that every time, let's say you think somebody owes you a lot of money and therefore you took him to Beis Din, and in Beis Din he suffered terrible embarrassment, emotional stress, and it turned out he did not owe you anything. You might have been completely mistaken about who he was. So he then charges you, counter charges, to pay him for his embarrassment, boishes. You are not chayev. The poskim say you are not chayev. A person goes around his normal daily life. It summons him to Beis Din. I did not sue him in order to inflict any embarrassment on him. I was going around doing what I have to do in life to save what normal people do. I thought he owed me something. I took him to Beis Din. I don't have to pay for the embarrassment that he suffered over there. A person is chayev in kibud of ha'aim. If his father owes him money, he is allowed to summons his father to Beis Din, sue him, and ask for his money. He better be very, very careful not to say one unnecessary word disgracing his father because of kibud of ha'aim. But there will be laws about which Beis Din you go to would be up to the father's choice. There's a lot of other ways that he'll have to continue respecting his father even through the whole case, But he doesn't have to suffer losses just because it's his father. He may sue his father. Now, his father definitely was very embarrassed by all of this. And it's okay. Even though I'm chayv in kibud of ha'ein, I still may take care of myself in life. There are many examples of this kind of scenario. A person is taking care of himself, and what the other person suffers when he's taking care of himself, if it is all according to the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch, he will not be held responsible for that suffering, pain, or loss that his friend suffered. Even if there is no actual money loss in waiting till we get to Beis Din, you won't lose anything. You'll get every penny back in Beis Din. Still, if you are absolutely 100% sure that this is the halacha and you are doing din emes, true justice, you may salvage, save your own things from theft or damage, even if this means inflicting injury on the other person if there is no other way. If the thief would turn around and hit back, he will be held responsible and will have to pay compensation for the injuries that he inflicted on the person he was trying to steal from, because he had no right to do so. Now, all of this, as I've said, so self-defense, you may defend yourself, you may defend your relatives from either physical or anybody else. You may defend, self-defense is also to defend others from any physical injury, harm, or any monetary loss. You may do so even by inflicting, even using force, and even if there's resistance, even inflicting inflicting injury on the other person. This is called Ovedinish Din al Nafshe. A person may take the law into his own hands. This is only, as we've said, if you would be able to prove your case in Beis Din. You are 100% right that you are right. You have witnesses. You have everything you need to be able to prove your case in Beis Din. On this, the Gemara says that a Tzorva Mirabonon, a mature Talmud Chochem, is Ovedinish Dina l'nafshe, can take the law into his own hands, b'milsa de psikele, when everything is absolutely obvious that he is right. But if it's not a mature Talmud Chochem, or things are not so obvious, will not be able to be proved in Beis Din, then not everybody is trusted to just take the law into their own hands. You went into a store, and you bought something, you bought 5 jars of coffee, and the minute you tell the woman at the cash register there's 5, and she goes with a barcode and just times it by 5, and the when you start packing it into your bag, you suddenly realize there's only 4. You go back to the cash register and you say, hey, there's only 4. I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do about that. Once it's in the cash register, so you say, will you just let me back into the store a minute and take another jar of coffee for free? No, there's no such thing. Or it may be a day, you know, you might have got home and realized one's missing, but you are absolutely sure because you knotted the bag and you know that there's only 4 in there and that no way it could have been taken out or fallen out on the way. You realize there's one missing. The store owes you a jar of coffee. Can you then go back to the store at a different time and shoplift it? Or, you know, pile all your things on. When you get to the cash register, just move one jar of coffee past without having it put in. Or buy another 5 and tell them it's only 4. Are you allowed to do that kind of thing? It would seem not. It would seem not, because according to the Poskim, this is only when you would be able to verify it, when you would be able to prove your case in Beis Din. Unfortunately, in some of these cases we've mentioned, you will not be able to prove in Beis Din that he owes you a jar of coffee. And therefore, you won't be able to take the law into your own hands. However, if it is a question which is lemaisa, each person present here is welcome to ask his own rov. Maybe there will be other ways around things when your baal din is being very obstinate. Okay, so we see even a Talmud Chochem is allowed to apply force and use even violence, physical injury. We are not worried. We're not too worried about chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name, if a Talmud Chochem acts violently. I would say even more than that. If he just sits there like a sheep and lets people steal from him, that alone might be a Chilul Hashem. So the Gemara says somebody else was taking water out of your well. Water was a commodity that cost money in those days. They weren't so sure when it would rain, and you were worried that till you go to Beis Din and come back, you're going to have this loss. You're doing for Din Emes, for true justice, you may even use physical force if necessary to stop him do that. However, the Gemara says, you may not use excess force, you may not cause extra damage. If his animal has climbed on top of your animal and is about to do something to it, you may pull your animal out, but if it's only a slight extra effort to pull your animal out, it's easier to just push his animal off, you're not allowed to push his animal off. If it's a lot, a much bigger effort, then you may throw his animal off, even though his animal will suffer a lot extra injury. That would not be called excess injury or damage, excess force, because it was a lot harder to pull your animal out. But if it's not much harder to just pull your animal out from underneath and cause less damage to his animal, then you are expected to do less damage, if possible. We have over here obstruction. Someone fills your garden with his wine barrels and you can't get by. So you, in order to be able to get in and out, you don't have to climb around carefully between the barrels. You may actually pick up a barrel or two and smash them if necessary. Of course, there is Hashavas Aveda to save your friend as much as possible from having extra damages, and therefore you will be expected, if at all possible, to tidily pile the barrels one on top of each other without damaging them. But if not possible, you will actually be able to break these barrels, if that's the only way possible, to create a throughway for yourself to get in and out. The same would be true about somebody who obstructs the public highway, the street, and has blocked the whole throughway for people. Also, you would be able to do the same thing. You'd be able to break his barrels. Of course, somebody who filled your garden with permission, and permission to really fill it, you can't break his barrels. Of course, if somebody deposits things puts things down in the place you live or work or whatever, in your warehouse, delivers stuff and just leaves it there, you don't have to hold on to it forever. You can call him and tell him, would you like to pick up your stuff? And if not, I'm just putting it out in the street. You can't put it in the garbage. You can't steal it for yourself. But nobody can be forced to take care of deposits which he's not interested and hasn't agreed to hold on to. You would have to inform him, and sometimes if he's not in town, you can't inform him. You may be allowed to sell part of the merchandise in order to be able to rent a place and hire workers to deliver, to move over the stuff to the place that you've rented for him. Can a person call the police? Well, if you see someone breaking into someone else's house, there would be an Ovedinish Dina Leshamayim also. Like a person is chayav toichocha, you must rebuke, reproof fellow Jews. Not only we keep the Torah, we try for Hashem's sake to make sure that all other Jews keep the Torah. So we do want to save this Jewish thief, the burglar from stealing. We also want to save our friend's possessions from being stolen. Certainly, if you see a burglar making his way into someone's house, you may call the police on him. However, not all circumstances are similar, and if at all possible, you should call a Rav first. You don't want to lose all your Olam Haba, or become Yotze Michlal Amisecha, become Posel Le'edis or Le'shvua, and be called a Rosha, doing Mesira and Halshona. Therefore, do be careful before you call the police. Be absolutely sure that you're allowed to and supposed to be doing that. But if there's no Rav to call, use your common sense. Can I expel someone from my domain? I've got an unwanted guest over here and he refuses to leave. I might even be scared that he's a thief. He knocked on the door pretending to be a mashulach, and now he's sitting around. I have valuables in my house. I can't hide them all, and he's just sitting there and refuses to go. Maybe he's a plumber who came to fix a pipe, and now that he's finished, I want him to go, and he refuses to go. Can I push someone out of my house? Yes, certainly you can push him out, but you cannot inflict excess injury on him. That's here in Baba Kama Daf Memches. you can push him out without injuring him. If he refuses to go, and the only way you can get him out is with injuring him, even though there is an Asivus who says otherwise, it's in our sugya, it's quite plain and straightforward that you can actually inflict injury if he is disturbing you terribly being here, or you are scared he may be here, he might want to steal things or damage. You may actually use force and even injure him to push him out. If you have an employee that you are scared that because it's the last day of their employment might start stealing things and you want to fire them, so, and they refuse to go, you will also, according to our Gemara, you will be able to force him out, even if that means inflicting injury on him because there is no other way to get him out. Trespassing. So we're all familiar in the countryside with the signs, trespassers will be prosecuted. If people have no right of way through your field or any other, your store, your car park, you may stop them from passing through it. If they have right of way, if it's a Meitzah Sheichziku Boy Rabim, they had permission originally and they've got used to walking through your building. What you do have very common in this country, you have neighborhoods built on mountain sides, and the way people get from one parallel street to the other is by walking through private houses, by not the private house but the private apartment blocks, going through the stairways. If it's raining and muddy and the stairways have been washed for Shabbos, cleaned for Shabbos already, sponged, they may be dirtying them. The people living in these buildings may not like having the public walking past their letterboxes when they're getting checks in the mail, which sometimes go missing. There are various other reasons why people do not want their building to become a public throughway. If originally they had permission to walk through, then you won't be able to stop them. That's a Meitzah Sheichziku Boy Rabim. But if they have no permission to go through, nobody ever let them do such a thing, we're not even talking about them putting the light switch on and using the electricity from the building without permission, we will ask people we will be allowed to stop these people coming through. We may do that by just locking the door. Or that might be inconvenient because we'll have to give out, sometimes 87 keys if you want to give out to every man, woman and child who live in this block. So make it very inconvenient to come running in and running out. So it's not always an eitzah to lock the door. You will be able to stop people. If they refuse and fight and resist and force their way past you, you will even be able to inflict injury on them to stop them from trespassing through your property. A person who is Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, that is only if he himself is doing the din or through other Yidden he is having the din done. But you're not allowed to ask Goyim to do this for you. You're not allowed to ask the police force or the courts to do this for you, unless if it is absolutely impossible to do it without them, and then you need to go to a Rov and get a Heta. If talking about the courts, it is worth mentioning that the Shulchan Aruch says that anybody who goes to the secular courts, even if they are set up to judge Din Torah, and they're not, and even if it would be religious Jews be judging in the secular court, anybody who goes there, it is Harezer Rosha, Okeilu Chiref, Vegidef, Veherim Yad Bateras Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem, Sheneemar, Kiloiket Tzureinu Tzurom, Ve'oiveinu Pelilim. A person who goes to the secular courts, even to get them to judge him, Din Torah, and even if it's Jewish judges, is a Rosha, and it's as if he has blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu and lifted a hand against Hashem's Torah. So it's quite a serious thing. So certainly anybody who wants to go to secular courts should be asking a competent Rav first, and possibly he may even need Rashus, permission from Beis Din to do so. Sometimes the dinim may change when it's the public, the kehillah against an individual. Sometimes it may change when in tax collection laws of once upon a time, which things have changed nowadays, and not so negeya lamaisa. All of what we've said is when you want somebody stealing from you or causing damaging you. But let's say somebody owes you a lot of money and he refuses to pay. So, very well. I've got my ways of getting him to pay. I'll walk over to him Friday night and snatch his shtreimel. Or I'll steal his trousers in the mikveh. And I'll tell him you want me to go, or I'll take the car keys. I'll tell him you want me to give it to you back. So, give me a check. Pay me back. That's called a mashgoin. A security. Snatching a security. Grabbing a security. Tfisa. Well, if it's on a debt, then you're not allowed to. Only if Beis Din decide, then the Beis Din will send a Shliach Beis Din, their emissary, their messenger, and he will be able to snatch the mashkin, and only in the streets. He cannot go into the house like a bailiff and walk off with their stereo or their high-tech equipment. He will only be allowed to, like we said, snatch the shtreimel or the car, car keys, the car, or the trousers in the mikveh, but he will not be able to. Even a shliach Beis Din has to stand outside and wait for him to give him stuff or grab it in the street. He can't out of the house. He cannot go into the house to take it. If somebody transgressed this, if the malva, the lender, went and grabbed a security, as we've said, without the rishus of Beis Din, he has no rishus to do so. If he injured the borrower in doing so, he will certainly be held responsible to repay all the, to compensate him for all the injuries that he did, just like all the dinim of an adam amazik, tzari, peshevas, boisha, whatever, the way it is dealt with today, nowadays, bote din. An orav, a guarantor, I guarantored a loan and had to repay it, or a employee who wants his wages, because the money is being owed not through loaning, not through debts, they are allowed even to go into the house and snatch a security. Similarly, if somebody is retaining a pikodin, a deposit, and refuses to give it back, you will be able to go and snatch it back, and if so, you could even use force to do so. There are opinions that Ovidinish din and Nafshe, taking the law into one's own hands, using physical force and possibly injuring, hitting somebody, is only when it is quite obvious that your article is being held by the other person. But if you just want on old accounts of him owing you money or having stolen money from you, there are opinions that you cannot, on old accounts, come and use physical force to get back what you have to settle old accounts. Some people say that it's not called Ovidinish Dina Nafshe. It is only called Ovidinish Dina Nafshe when you are hitting him, inflicting injury on him while you're doing this, and then you need to be able to explain it very clearly in Beis Din why you did this. But if somebody is scared that his debtor will not repay him, or his employer will deny that he ever did the job, or will deny that he ever borrowed money from him, or whatever it is, so then he is very worried that now money is being owed to him, and he has no way of proving it in Beis Din. Maybe our fellow with the extra glass of coffee, the extra jar of coffee, would be in this position. So what he can do sometimes is tefisa. He could seize an article of his friend's possessions, his opponent's possessions. He would be able to seize an article. He should not do this in front of Edim. If he were to do it in front of Edim, in front of witnesses, so then the witnesses will come to Beis and say he stole it and he'll have to give it back. He should do this not in front of witnesses. Having done it not in front of witnesses, when he gets to Beis Din and his opponent says, you stole from me, he can say, yes, you're right, I stole from you, but it's because you owe me such and such. Now, he has what's called a migu, that if I really wanted to be a thief, I would say I didn't steal anything from you and you have no proof otherwise. Now, I'm an honest person, and I don't want to lie. I do want to retrieve, get back what you owe me. Therefore, this is called a migu. Sometimes Beis Din will believe a person with a migui. Migu means that since I could have lied, if I wanted to steal, I could have lied better. Believe me with what I'm saying now. That's a very rough outline of what a migu is. if you snatched it, if you seized this security, not in front of witnesses, when you get to Beis Din, you will have a migu, and you will be believed on your jar of coffee, or whatever other debt, or whatever your friend owes you. So you are advised to do this seizing with a, not in front of witnesses, so that you should have the power of a migu with you. Sometimes you are worried for whatever reason he may make off with your money without paying you, or steal, whatever it is. Sometimes you may be a good idea to just seize some of his possessions. He might not deny that he owes you the money, and if you've seized it when you get to Beis Din, you've got much better chance of getting the money he owes you, and you'll be called a Zoriz Niskar. In any place where a person does din lenafshe, your friend stole your computer and you want to go and get it back, better than sneaking in behind people's back, you should actually walk in broad daylight, walk behind the other side of the counter of his shop or office or whatever it is, take your computer, stand up and walk out with it. That is much better. You should not be sneak in and snatch it behind his back, because then you look like a ganuf. And the Torah says, "V'hiyisem nikiyim mehashem u'miyisrael." You're not supposed to do things which arouse people's suspicions. Of course, if it's impossible to retrieve it in broad daylight and straightforward in front of him, breaking his teeth and snatching it and seizing it back, then of course you should opt for the idea of going behind his back just to get it back. What I would like to add to this shiur of Ovedinish Dina Lenafshe is the idea of Lo Yosef. Inflicting physical injury on another Jew, on your fellow Jew, is a negative transgression in the Torah of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. Some Rishonim say every time you hit someone, you are transgressing two Isurei Do'oraisa, two Loisaseis, Lo Yosef and Pen Yosef. Some say it's only one. Now, of course, the people present know that it is sometimes allowed to hit. For instance, a Rebbe can hit his Talmidim, or a parent sometimes has to use some kind of physical force. Of course, this is not done out of revenge and hate. This is done for the positive purpose of teaching the child or the Talmid to mend their ways and do better next time. And the child or the will feel that it is that a parent or a Rebbe who usually pours love over them is really doing this for a positive purpose and will not resent it and will mend his ways. Hitting is less acceptable nowadays, because in our generation the children are very, very soft, and very often hitting them will just make them even worse, make them rebel, and they don't enjoy it, and therefore it doesn't usually work. Unlike in earlier generations, when people are much used to being hit and therefore mending their ways. Also, the grown-ups are not so capable of hitting without any resentment, without any nekoma or sinner, and therefore it is not so advisable to hit. But according to the halacha, a parent or a rebbe who hits a talmid is not transgressing lo yosef. Similar to how when a doctor needs to amputate a limb or inject or do any other inflict any other physical injury on a physical pain on a patient, this is perfectly allowed, because the you mustn't do to anybody else what you wouldn't like having done to yourself. This doctor himself, if he would be in a position that he would need this limb amputated, would also be very happy to have it amputated. And therefore, if it would be allowed for a doctor or a dentist, anyone in the medical profession, to inflict injury on somebody when it's for that person's own good. So there is such a thing as lo yosef. There is an issur d'oraisa to hit or hit even without inflicting injury, and certainly with inflicting injury, even to another human being who allows you to do so. And anybody who is interested in martial arts, and that includes hitting each other, should ask a question. The question should be asked if this is allowed. They may not be held responsible to pay compensation after it's happened, whereas also teenagers playing soccer who one hurts the other may not be allowed, because people did get into this and with the understanding do play soccer with the understanding that sometimes people get hurt and each one is allowing the other one to not to have to pay compensation. But they may still, if in martial arts where the idea is to hit each other, they may still be transgressing the loisaseh of lo yosef pen yosef. I would just like to add that people should know before doing Ovidinish Din al Nafshe that if they are allowed to do it and it has a positive purpose, they may be doing a mitzvah. But if they are not allowed to do it, they may be doing an Aveira. Similar to many other mitzvahs, Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, for instance, Loshon Hara. Someone who speaks Loshon Hara is transgressing a Issa D'Oraisa of Loshon Hara. However, if he does so for a positive purpose, for instance, for a shidduch, to either make it work or not work, if it's not supposed to work, or for a business partner, then he must speak Lashon Hara. If he doesn't speak Lashon Hara, he is transgressing Lo Samad Al Dam Reacho, and Lifnei Eve Lo Sitein Michshoel, and many other possible Averis. So it's the same idea. The mitzvah's Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, if there's a positive purpose in his actions, then he would be, or words, he would be allowed to do so. If it is all negative, coming out of spite, out of hate, out of revenge, then he would be over on an Issa D'Oraisa. The same thing is with Ovidin Ishtin Nafshe. If he has a positive reason for wanting to do this, then it's a positive action and it's okay, he's allowed to do it. Whereas if there is not a positive reason, or if it has mixed in with it revenge and hate, then he is transgressing the Issa Loisase of Lo Yosef Pen Yosef Shkeach.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.